Whoa, what is that?
I don't know, what is that?
Is that a...
What?
Could that be a...
It's a Bible bomb!
Hey, this is Landon.
This is Philip.
And we are your Bible Bomberman.
Let's drop some bombs!
Okay, we're back.
Hello!
After all these years, it seems like. Did you have a good Christmas?
I did. I have a great Christmas.
Okay, so I've been, like, sick.
I can tell.
So, my voice is a little not there. So, if I start coughing and sneezing throughout the podcast, just remember, don't judge me. Okay?
No judgment.
No judgment. Because if you judge me, then that means God's going to judge you.
Speaking of judgment... That's what today's episode is about.
What a coincidence. What a perfect segue into that. Our question today is how judgmental is too judgmental? Because, let's be honest, the scripture we're about to read is probably the most quoted scripture in the entire Bible, and usually quoted by non-Christians or people who just know a little bit about the Bible. Read Matthew 7:1.
Do not judge so that you will not be judged. There it is.
That's it, right there.
And I'm sure you recognize that.
Simple verse. Yep, that's where...
Some people actually don't even know that's a verse.
it's just a wise saying, like something Forrest Gump said. I don't know. No, this is the most quoted verse in the entire Bible, and it's usually quoted when people are offended by...
Anything?
Anything. So if anything is preached against a lifestyle that you live, it's kind of like you pull out a gun and shoot. Like, hey, don't judge. The Bible says don't judge. If you judge, then you will be judged.
Yep.
I remember I read on a Facebook one time, there was a post quoting 1 Corinthians where it talked about homosexuals will not be entering heaven or inheriting the kingdom of heaven. And some of the other comments were like, hey, the Bible also says don't judge lest you be judged. You know, God's going to judge you the exact same way. Somebody also said that to me once when I was saying something about homeschooling and how public schools are deceiving your children. Someone said, quoted this exact same verse, you know, don't judge unless you be judged.
That's basically a lazy way to argue against anything.
It's a cop-out.
Yeah.
That's not really what Jesus was talking
about. It's not what he was talking about.
Yeah, so when someone gets rebuked with the scripture, any scripture, because they live in a life contrary to God's word, they whip out Matthew 7:1. You can't judge me. And they say stuff like, only God can judge me, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. It's not funny, but yeah, God is going to judge you. That's one of the big, attacks or criticisms of the church, that the church is too judgmental.
Yeah, which, speaking of judgmental, just the word itself is not a word that you find in scripture by itself anyways. We've talked about words like this, like legalism, before. It's more of like an attitude that people attribute. There's judge in the Bible and judgment, but judgmental is more of like an adjective, not a verb.
Yeah. So,
but Christians get this label all the time.
That's what you always hear. Now, is it true? Now, is the church too judgmental? A lot of people leave the church, and their reason is, I was being too judged. I couldn't just be myself at this church because everyone was judging me. Let's talk about this. So, are we too judgmental because we oppose abortion or same-sex marriage or fornication, couples sleeping together outside of marriage, any of that kind of stuff? Drugs, alcohol, tattoos, not wearing a suit to assembly. Now, okay, some of those things I mentioned, the Bible clearly says are sins, but some of the stuff I mentioned, the Bible doesn't. So we got to figure out where that line is. Are people right when they say we're too judgmental? Now read Acts 17:30-31.
Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof that to all men by raising him from the dead.
All right, so this is our job as Christians, is to go out and preach that all men everywhere are to repent. Now, repent means to change, your way of thinking, to turn your life from sin, and to start doing things that pleases God. So how do we do that, then, if
we're not...
Yeah.
Yeah, how do we do it if we're not judgmental?
Or how do we do that without judging?
Yeah. Without sounding judgmental.
Because if I say, you need to repent... automatically someone's going to feel judged. Yeah, like, who are you to judge me?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what Matthew 7 actually means. So there's more to that passage than just, don't judge lest you be judged. So read Matthew 7, 1 through 5.
Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in every way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
All right, so this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the way you judge, you will be judged. So what standard are you using to judge people? Jesus is saying you can't rebuke someone for doing something if you practice the same thing. Or practice something else that's bad. So if I'm a liar and I see someone over there who's lying, I can't say, hey, you're lying. You're bad for lying. You need to stop lying. Well, then what about you, dude?
You know, that's something that kind of reminds me of road rage a lot. Because, for example, somebody, if you're driving on the highway at night, somebody can drive by and their brights are on. And you're like, well, that guy's such an idiot and he's mean and whatever. Terrible driver, rude driver. And then when you forget to turn your brights off and pass somebody, you're like, oh, oops.
Yeah, exactly.
Oopsie-daisy. And then you forgive yourself right away. But, like, is that a good standard? Maybe you should give somebody grace. I mean, who knows? They could be a rude driver. But,
yeah.
I mean, everybody makes mistakes, too.
It's a really easy trap to fall into, criticizing somebody else for something that you do yourself. Read what Romans, I always find it interesting in the book of Romans, Paul talks about in the first chapter about how bad the Gentiles are, which is pretty judgmental. If you read Romans chapter 1, talking about the downward spiral of the Gentiles. And you know what? The Jews probably folding their arms saying, yep, amen, Paul, those Gentiles are bad. Look at how bad they are. But then read what Paul says in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3.
Right. Therefore, you have no excuse. Every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things, and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?
Right. There's a cat making noise back there. That's a judger.
We're passing judgment on the cat.
Jesus didn't say you can't pass judgment on animals. Anyways, all right. The Gentiles didn't have the law. The Jews did. So who's worse, the ones who didn't have the law and did bad things, or the ones who did but practiced the bad things anyways? I mean, the Jews, they had no excuse. They were being very judgmental of these Gentiles for idolatry and all this bad stuff. But these Jews were doing the exact same things. So Paul is saying he's calling them out for being hypocrites. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about hypocrisy, those who are not repenting of their own sins, but are telling others to repent.
It's really interesting how abused this Matthew chapter 7 verse gets. But context is always important, and we like to always say context is key. That's true. But usually if you have a question about something, you can read verses before and or verses after. And this very same chapter that people love to use to say, don't judge or you'll be judged, Jesus tells you to judge. So so let's read Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So judge them by their fruits.
Yep.
So
same chapter.
Yeah, same exact chapter here, which should be an alarm in our minds to be like, okay, yeah, you need to pay more attention and not take these one little verses phrases and be like Philippians 4:13 and like,
yeah,
like just be careful. Like they are powerful verses, but you aren't gonna get the true meaning if you don't look at the context.
Yep, you have to have the whole scriptures.
Also, I got to read this. Jesus speaking again in John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment.
Yeah.
He tells you to judge.
No,
just
Jesus,
be right about it.
You know, he's not saying you need to have a bad attitude towards someone and treat them bad, but you have to know. There has to be some sort of a judgment when we're working in evangelism. So we have to know that people are lost if we're going to try and save them. We can't just be like, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, but we can't just be like, well, God's going to judge them. So no, we have to be discerning. So we have to judge with a righteous judgment. And then there's also the false teachers. We have to stand up and say, hey, Joel Osteen, you know, he's false. He's teaching falsehood. And you know, we can't just be like, well, that's judgmental.
Yeah,
you know? Like, that's
nope.
Judging with a righteous judgment.
We'll let our preacher teach falsities just because we don't want to judge him.
Meanwhile, he's might be influencing your children. Yep. And sending them down to hell. All right, so a lot of preachers like to preach against every kind of sin except the one that they have. So that's a full-blooded hypocrite. And that's what Matthew 7 is about. So someone who pretends to be righteous and points out all the faults in others while he still sins. What a lot of people don't realize is that Jesus wants those logs coming out. Yep. Some people say, I can't talk to someone else about their sin because I have that same sin. You know, I can't judge them because I've sinned or I struggle to. Here's a bright idea. Stop it. Stop sinning. Read what 1 Corinthians 15:34 says.
Become sober-minded as you ought. And stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Ooh, that sounds pretty judgmental. Paul, wasn't he a chief of sinner guy? And he's telling the Corinthians to stop sinning? That's hypocrite, right? Well, no. Read Luke 13:3.
I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
And also read 1 Peter 4:3.
For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries.
The time has passed. So if you're a Christian, your sin days are supposed to be over. It's past. And
yeah.
If you're sinning as a Christian, you need to repent quickly and confess to God, move on. You know, take that log out. If you have a bad habit that they need to replace, do it.
Yep.
And move on. So you can't just be like, I struggle with the same thing, so I can't judge. Well, no, Jesus wants you to take that log out, and then he wants you to help people. Because if you have a log in your eye, then you're not going to see clearly to help your brother. You're both going to be, it's going to be like a blind guy leading another blind person
think
into
a
pit.
Yeah, think about this. If you are, imagine you're out of shape, and you're like hundreds of pounds in weight, and you can barely walk, and it's hypothetical, obviously, but, and you're like, man, I really want to get into shape, and so you look around, and you're like, you know what, I think another guy like me is gonna be the best person to get me into shape and healthy so I can be active again. You wouldn't do that. It's not correct. It's not smart. So, so why would you be telling people to live under the standard that you're not living under? That's just like out of shape physical instructor. People don't want to listen to that.
Yeah,
they're not going to respect you. And likely, since you're judging with that standard and not living under the standard you're judging with, you're going to feel that judgment from God one day as well.
Yeah, you see, Paul had the right to tell the Corinthians to stop sinning because he took the log out of his eye. You know, he could see clearly. He did what Jesus said. He removed the log from his eye, and he was able to help those take he was able to help take the speck out of his brother's eyes, and I think it worked pretty well.
Yep.
people also use Matthew 7 as a cover up for cowardliness. They'll say, "Well, I can't judge because we've all sinned," when they're really just afraid of being persecuted. So they don't want to call people to repentance. They'll say the "can't judge," "not my place to judge." Well, read what Mark 8:38 says.
For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Okay, so when you say, "I'm not going to judge him, you know, it's not my place, I'll let God do that," that's cowardliness. Because the Bible tells us exactly how God is going to judge people. Yeah. It's our job to show people what the Bible says about that. It's not our job to just pronounce hell on people. You know, it's our job to show people what the Bible says.
Judging, I can understand why, like, judging somebody is one of the hardest things for Christians to do. And usually in this culture, we wouldn't use that word anyways because it's so has stigma behind it. But it is one of the hardest things to do, but you got to be careful because it can also be one of the easiest things to do. And that's where Christians get this bad reputation, is it's one of the hardest things to do in the right context, but it's one of the easiest things to do in the wrong context, where you are like yelling at them and maybe you're homophobic or something. And you're like, some people try to beat the gay out of their kids or something, which is,
I mean,
it's not good at all and not the right context, but it's the harder thing to do to judge correctly.
So if you see a gay person or a transgender walk by and you just avoid them or make a rude face at them and leave, that's the bad kind of judgmental.
Yeah, see, that's the easy kind.
But when you're sitting down having a Bible study with them, showing them what the scripture says, you know, that's the good kind, right? And that's the kind that people are too afraid to do, and why they just say, "I can't judge, we'll just let God do it." Think about this. So how did Paul, who was once the chief of sinners, tell the Corinthians to stop sinning? Because I thought Jesus said, "Whoever is without sin, throw the first stone," right? Well, first of all, Paul was not throwing stones, okay? He was not throwing stones at anybody. Throwing stones was for condemnation. Basically, we're going to kill you. You guys are... If he was doing that, then Paul would have been like Jonah when he went to Nineveh and said, "You guys sin, God's going to strike you down with lightning, and he's going to nuke you. You're all going to blow up. You're all doomed for all eternity."
Is that the Message translation?
Yeah, that was the Landon translation. Paul was trying to point the Corinthians back to the straight and narrow path so that they could be saved, right? So he wasn't condemning or throwing stones at anybody. That's a completely different thing. But how could Paul say all those things with the kind of past he had? Remember, Paul, he was the guy who had Stephen stoned. He approved of all the murder of Christians. Yep. He put people in jail. And he was also a coveter.
You know what the nice thing is about being a Christian? The past doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. So what about if you had a tweet 20 years ago that was racist?
Guess what? Doesn't matter. All right, we should read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. "Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Hebrews 9:14. "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And then right after that, Acts 23, verse 1, "Paul, looking intently at the council, said, 'Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day.'"
All right, so I think you guys get the point that as a Christian, God gives you a clean conscience. In baptism, your sins are washed away. According to Hebrews, your conscience is clean so that you can serve God. Now, that's why Paul can say stuff like that. Yeah. That's why Paul can preach repentance, because according to God, his sins are forgiven. He's a new creature. He's got a clean slate.
That's why a lot of people like the phrase born again. Well, and it is in the scripture as well. Yeah. But born again Christian, because if you're born again, that means The old you is dead. Yeah. And that's why Paul can say, I've lived my life with a clean conscience up to this day. He's not talking about who he used to be. He's talking about his born again self, his saint.
Now, it is important to point out that Paul never denies that he didn't do those things in his old life. And he sometimes brings those things up to keep himself humble, but to also show how awesome the grace of God is, that God could even save him, you know, such a terrible person. But that past life was gone, and that now he was spotless and blameless, clothed with Christ. And that's the same for all of us, that we can all go out and preach repentance to a generation of lost sinners. We still have to remember where we came from so that we can preach the truth in gentleness and in love. So I think that's another reason why Paul kept bringing up his past, was because he had to remember there has to be some gentleness, because I was once lost, and I sure appreciated people who were gentle with me. So that's why we have to be gentle and patient with people on the other side. And that's where the problem with having a judgmental attitude comes in, because true Christianity is about helping people, not judging them.
Yeah, exactly. And you can actually push people the opposite way you want them to go if you aren't gentle. So it's really important for us to remember our past and where we came from and how helpless we were before we were saved by Christ. And so, yeah, that's an important part of our story. But Paul is pointing out here, it doesn't matter when it comes to your conscience. You've been wiped clean, and you can preach without being a hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not a part of you anymore.
Yeah.
It's your past, and it will stay there.
People say it's not humble to see it that way, but in reality, it's not humble to not accept the gift that God has given you and to just basically slap him in the face, say, no, I don't believe you. I don't have a clean conscience. I'm still just a sinner. Like, no, that's true arrogance, to deny the grace that God has given you. Now, just because we tell someone that they need to repent doesn't mean we're judging them, even if they think we are. A lot of people are going to think, they'll say, stop judging me, but that doesn't mean you are.
It's not personal judgment.
The reason why they feel judged is because they are, but it's not coming from us. It's coming from God's word. Now, I read John 12:48.
He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day.
What we want from people is the word to judge people before the last day, so that they can make a decision. On that very last day, everyone's going to have to make an account before God based on what the word of God says. So when we preach the word to people, the listener can either cry like a baby about feeling judged or humble himself and repent. Really, if you really think about it, why not just swallow your pride and repent? I mean, we're talking about eternal life, no more death or pain, nothing but love with Jesus and his family. I mean, do you really want to lose that because you want to be right, or because you just want to live the way that you want to? Like, it's not worth it.
No, not at all. I do have a story that happened last week, actually. So me and Faith were driving, I think we were on our way home to Stillwater, and somebody with flashing lights was ahead of us, and somebody was tailgating us, and, well, because we had to stop, it was like one lane that we could get through, so we stopped, and the person behind us was tailgating and honking on the horn, like, murr, murr, murr. And they were so angry at us, and we were like, well, what do we do? And then eventually they got the car off the road, and so we could go ahead. But as we drove past, we saw the car's whole front end was smashed in. They got in a huge crash. And we were just thinking, well, I'm glad that we did not make a quick judgment on that. Yeah. They were just blocking the road. And I'm just assuming, and I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming the people, as they drove past the car as well, they probably were kind of face-palming, like, oh, man, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, and we, as Christians, we got to work really hard to not take offense at things the world does to us or say to us, because, first of all, it's not personal, and even if it is, who cares? Because it only matters. It's not. If we're right with God, then that's all that matters, and we have a mission, And we know that people are going to hate us and treat us bad. So Christians, sometimes when they don't have this perspective of, I just want to help people, can go too far and act judgmental instead of loving. And it's especially especially true with newer Christians, because a lot of people, when they become Christians, and that's kind of how I was when I became a Christian, was so fired up about doctrine. You know, the Bible says Acts 2:38, and that's, we need to go bang that on people's heads. And one of the things that they need to know is that, first of all, we're excited about your great zeal to speak the truth, but you need to also be reminded that you're trying to win souls and not arguments, because arguments are really the easy way out, or the shortcut way of doing things. And it's the opposite of trying to patiently invest in someone's soul to win them to Christ. You know, if you have a Facebook argument in front of a screen, that's a different than sitting down with someone and trying to reason with them face to face. And if the Christian does not mature past this, he's going to spend his life judging people, and it's not going to do anything to help him.
I got another story about judgment on another Christian this time, and because you mentioned early Christians. So a few years ago, I worked at a grocery store, and I saw somebody who was head of a big ministry in the Oklahoma City area, and I saw him purchasing an alcoholic beverage. Actually, he was in my line. And it was the only time I ever saw him there and purchasing alcohol. But immediately I lost all respect for him. And I was like, wow. And I think I went home and told my family and stuff. Like, and I was like, I can't believe this. But looking back on it, I really regret my response. Because number one, it was the only time I ever saw him do it. And it's actually possible to be a responsible drinker. And I know some people might disagree with me. But Jesus and the apostles drank wine as well. And as well, some people can have medical issues too. But he wasn't every day purchasing alcohol at the store, and he wasn't a clear alcoholic. All I saw was one instance, and immediately my respect was gone. And I don't think that's the right way to respond, because you don't have all the information in front of you. And that's how negative judgments usually happen, is a response. It's not clearly thought through. It's not gentle. It's an activated response in our body. It's like, ugh. And then we gotta regurgitate any sort of judgments we've got, and that's not healthy and not positive for the church.
I mean, that's part of what Jesus meant when he said judge with righteous judgment, was have all your info together. A lot of what you see, you don't have all the information, so...
Yeah, don't, and that's back to the John 7:24 that I read earlier. Jesus said,
"Yeah, that's
you can judge,
talking.
But judge rightly." he said, "Judge rightly." So, if you don't think you're gonna be right about this, and if you don't think Jesus' words are backing you up, maybe hold back on your judgment.
I spent my teenage years when I was a teenager watching many older people talk about how ungodly teenagers are, and how everything's just going downhill. This generation doesn't know how to do anything. They're lazy, not going to church, and all that stuff. And I saw that very few of these people who were saying that were willing to do anything about it. I was very appreciative of some of the elders and older people who took time to invest in some of us teenagers. Being judgmental, it leads to being idle. Like, a judgmental Christian will sit back and watch the world burn and just say, who cares? The world out there is bad. And the mission of Jesus was to seek and save the lost. You know, it says he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. You can't do that if you're just talking bad about
people. That is probably one of the most common things you hear at like family camps and things like that, is they always are talking about how bad the kids are these days. And whether it's true or not, it's... It's such a big, broad judgment that's and such a negative outlook. And we get so used to it. And it's almost like automatic coming out of... It's like your turn. Once you age out of being a teenager, it's like your turn to start hating on the next generation.
This generation...
I don't think that's healthy either.
The generation war is destroying the church. This millennials versus a boomer thing is completely sinful and unacceptable. The older generation has an obligation to pass on what they have learned to the younger. And if they're not doing that, then they're going to answer to God for that. Because in order for the church to continue, we have to teach the younger people how to replace us. Because you're not going to live forever. Okay? You have to do your job to pass on what you have learned. And being judgmental, it leads to you sitting back. And that's also kind of what legalism does. I know we did an episode about that recently. It produces an attitude of being judgmental. That guy has tattoos, so I don't want to be seen around him. That guy smokes, you know. I don't want to talk to him. Well, how do you know that those guys don't have any interest in truth? You know, they could be very interested in truth.
It's a total assumption.
See, when you understand this new system of faith, then you're going to have compassion on those people instead of being critical. Read what Luke 5:12-13 says.
While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him.
See, this is the attitude God wants us to have. In those days, the Jews forgot that lepers were people, you know, with souls and feelings. Jesus treated this guy like he was human. Yep. He showed compassion. And how should we treat those with spiritual leprosy? You know, should we just say, ew, stay away? You know, I don't want to go anywhere near that person. Now, obviously, bad company corrupts good morals. We're not saying hang out with these people and be buddies. But we still have to be those who are willing to sit with tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners, and be willing to eat with them, even risk our own reputation because we chose to eat with them. We should have compassion on people because we want them to be saved. You know, and that's what it's all about, is wanting people to be saved. And the attitude of being judgmental isn't going to do that.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. So let me read Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 8. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you on your part warn a wicked man and turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life. Uh-oh, telling us to judge again.
Poor Ezekiel, he was throwing stones. Didn't he have his own sin too? Okay, anyways. All jokes aside, two greatest commands. Love God, love others. Do you really love your neighbor if you're just going to say, I'll let God judge them? Not my responsibility. No, it's not your responsibility whether or not they become a Christian or not. It is our responsibility to at least let them make that choice for themselves, to at least see, because we're not judging people ourselves when we tell them what the Bible says, and that's our job to do that. When we're preaching the gospel, it's just a presentation. Hey, here's what the Bible says. Now you can make an informed decision about your eternity. Take it or leave it, okay? It's up to you, but you don't have to do it if you don't want to. It's completely optional. It's just, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't. But you know, if that's what you want, then that's what you want. And we're just spreading information. Yeah. That's it. Just non-negotiable information. And that's why it's called a proclamation, because we're just proclaiming information. It's not anything that we've made up ourselves. We're just giving people information, very useful information, very important information, but that's it. And we're not going out and preaching our own gospel or doing our own thing.
Yeah, so when you're thinking about the question, how judgmental is too judgmental? Jesus's word is what's going to judge him one day, not yours. So when Christians are the ones that make the stereotype, come out and say something like, you're gay, you're going to hell, or liars go to hell, or something, just say stuff out of, like, completely out of context, and then they're just have people know they're a Christian, people just are going to associate Christian, judgmental. They're not going to associate it with the word of God at all.
But then they just judge
they don't,
themselves.
Yeah. But it's important for people to know where the judgment is coming from. And it's okay if people, we're not trying to say, well, we got to make God look judgmental. That's okay. He is the judge. He's the almighty judge. He's the almighty creator. He made us. He has the right to be the judge. So it's okay if they know that God is going to judge them someday. That's the goal. But we don't want them to think that we're going to judge them while they're on earth just because we don't like their lifestyle. That's not the Christian way. That's not what God wants. So to answer the question, I guess that kind of answered it. But also, judge by your fruits is another thing that Jesus says. Judge people by their fruits. And that's a pretty accurate way to decipher what's going on in someone's life. Like the example, the guy who led the ministry, if I saw his fruits were not so great and he was coming in every day for some more alcohol, and then I would be more suspicious. But his ministry actually impacts a ton of people, and I have no idea why he was there that day, and I'd have no idea the context. So it's a judgment out of nowhere, and I just have no clue. But I think fruit is a much better measure to judge by.
Yeah. Just I looked at the example of Jesus, right? Perfect example. Jesus was willing to be seen eating with the bad guys while the religious people were judging him, were making judgment calls on him because he's supposed to be religious, but he's with the bad guys. But Jesus never let bad company corrupt good morals.
A lot of people judged him for that.
We have to be willing to be seen and to meet people at their level. You know, we have to be willing to talk to some transgender people. You know, if somebody sees us having coffee with a transgender person, you know, we have to risk our reputation for that one person's soul. That's what Jesus did. And when we see other Christians doing that, we need to not be judgmental, like, oh, that guy, he's accepting sin, you know. Well, because Jesus did that too.
I like the phrase in the world but not of the world, and I think that's really a good way to think about it when you're talking about meeting people where they're at. You're not gonna go I know I just mentioned drinking, but you're not gonna go to the bar and party and talk to girls with somebody while you're trying to preach to them. I mean, that's not a good example. Plus,
yeah,
my opinions on alcohol is that it's dangerous and I'm not gonna mess with it.
Yeah,
but like, I don't want to be promoting that in this podcast, but the point is I'm about judgment. But we're not gonna go and be of the world. We're gonna be in the world, so we could be like, hey, maybe on Friday night when you usually do this, hey, come into my house, we'll have a party, and we can have lots of fun. We can have some banana pudding and we don't have to like completely, we'll just be like, well, instead of drinking, you need to have a family friendly party.
Mm-hmm.
Just invite them over. Don't bring that stuff up. Yeah, let them see what it's like to be a part of God's family.
And when they see you living the way that you do, they're either going to choose to want to know more or want to know less and leave you alone. But a lot of people, when they see the way that you live, you know, they'll stop cussing. And that's another one is a language. When you're trying to reach someone, people cuss, okay? You have to fight your way through that and ask for the Bible study anyways. And eventually, if they are truly repenting, they will stop doing that. I really don't even have to tell them, hey, no cussing, because everybody knows, you know. They're called bad words for a reason. But anyways, when you're working with people in the world, just know, yeah, they sin. That's what they do. They're sinners. So were you. Be kind and just see them as human. And see them as someone who is sick that you want to get better. That's pretty much how to answer that question. But also discern, you know, be wise. So,
our next episode is gonna be about.
I think it's about the trilogy.
The trilogy, about the Trinity.
Oh.
And if you are pro Trinity or anti Trinity, you can assess your position based on the evidence we present on that episode. So stay tuned. And until next time, see you guys.